you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Around about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those on whom or with whom he is pleased." In the next few days, all over the world, in many countries, over 2,000 languages, people are going to gather in settings like this, and they're going to celebrate the birth of a single baby boy, a boy named Jesus. And 2,000 years later, we are still gathering to celebrate the birth of that little baby boy. It was all about the baby that was born in Bethlehem just over 2,000 years ago. We know his name. We know that he came to save. It's interesting that the birth of this little baby was absolutely unique. I recognize that this story has been told so many different times and in so many different ways. Sometimes I think when we even hear the words of Luke chapter 2, or we hear a guy like me just preach about it, our eyes glaze over a bit because we've heard the message so many different times. But I would just ask you to just stick with me for about 10 minutes here and consider a few of these things. This is what you need to know. The angel said to Mary and to Joseph, on different occasions, mind you, that the child that was to be born was Jesus Christ, was Christ the Lord. In other words, God in the flesh. That baby that lay in the manger was God himself. He was a vulnerable, little, helpless baby. And when you looked into the face of Jesus, you were looking into the very face of God. That's what the message of Christmas is really all about. Jesus was fully human, while at the same time being fully God. And that's one of the reasons why, or the reason why we celebrated Christmas, that God came among us in the incarnation. He became one of us. And the world will not agree, and they wouldn't capitulate to this, but this is the truth. That baby changed history. It was God visiting our world. Why did he come? That's another good question to ask. The story says, when you read chapter 2 of Luke, the story says that he came to be a savior. He came to bring us back to God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you and me and everything else. And he created us so that we would know him, that we would have a relationship with him, that we would do life with him. But unfortunately, somewhere along the way, Genesis chapter 3, every one of us turns away from God to do our own thing. And the Bible essentially describes us as lost. To be lost means that you have this sense deep down inside that you are just not connected, that that you are not connected to where you need to be connected. You are not in the right place, and you don't really know what to do about it. That's what being lost means. And that's what happens. That's what happens when men and women, young and old, turn away from God and live as if he doesn't exist. Jesus came to bring us back to God, to give us direction, to lead us out of the wilderness. I mean, use whatever phrase you want there. The great thing about Jesus is that he grew up to be a man, and his mission in life was to give himself and his life as a ransom for many. And what he meant by that was that the day would come when he would actually die on a cross. And when he died on a cross, it was really not about him. It was about you. It was about me. It says in the Bible that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sin, all of my sin, and he paid for it in full. And he did that so that great barrier or great wall that separates us from God would be obliterated, would be cast aside, so that we could be forgiven and we could come back to God through what Jesus did on the cross. If Jesus stayed dead, this really wouldn't be much of a story, would it? But we know that from the Word of God, 3 days later, Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And he came back to life, and he lives today. And it's the greatest story ever told. When you look at the birth of Jesus, what he did on the cross for you, what he did on the cross for me, and the fact that he was raised from the dead, you get this incredible perspective into the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would never die, would never perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, life to the full. So that's the greatest gift that you have ever been offered, forgiveness. Forgiveness and grace, grace and mercy, eternal life. And it all came through the person of Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, more or less. Here's the truth, though. There's many people in this world that are skeptical of this story. They are asking, what difference does this really make? And well, if you think about the world that Jesus entered, it was marked by two things. And it's the same thing today. It was marked by hopelessness, and it was marked by fear. People were fearful. They lacked proper income. They lacked proper resources. They lacked a stable political landscape, much like today. Those people back then, they didn't have a clue what tomorrow would bring. Think about the parallels between that world and our world. On a global level, we live in a bubble, but most of the world lives in great fear today. Most of the world is not in the West here. And today, many of us are living in fear of all kinds of things. And there is not only fear, but there is hopelessness. Maybe you have just lost hope because you've got a relationship issue in your family, a marital issue, a health issue. Maybe you are just hopeless because you can't seem to figure life out. Christmas, the time when Jesus came from heaven to earth, and the first words from heaven to earth when he was born is what? Do not fear. Fear not. Don't fear because he has taken away what separated you from God. Don't fear because God will be with you. Don't fear because you have a future and a hope. So, excuse me. Two things that I want you to know this morning. Two things. Here's the first one. God is for you. God is for you. I love it. A place in the Bible where it says God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, God is for you today. He wouldn't have come otherwise. Here's the second thing. Not only is God for you, but he is with you. That is an incredible thing. When you decide to do life with Jesus, when you decide to take him up on this offer of forgiveness and mercy, he does life with you so that you never have to face anything alone again. So there might be family issues. There might be job issues. There might be health issues. But you have the greatest person who has ever walked the face of the earth to do life with. And he has wisdom, counsel, and strength, and help. It sounds really good, doesn't it? So here's, this is how all that becomes yours. This is critical. Every gift that has ever been bought or made or created or whatever, every gift that has ever been offered has to be received. Or it's really not a gift, is it? Think about it. God sent his son Jesus as a gift. And the way that you receive it, the best way that I can put it to you today is this. The core of your being, you just say yes. You say yes. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I know that I am lost. Yes, I want forgiveness of my sin. And somehow from your heart, in any way you can, you just say to God, yes. And the God who hears your heart will hear, and God will hear your heart. And when that happens, when there is that change, when there is that acceptance of forgiveness, everything changes. I'm not saying that everything is seen through rose-colored glasses or anything like that, but there is hope. There's a sense of being found, not lost. More than anything else, there is peace. You still have to do life, yes. But there is a sense that God has gotten a hold of you. He's gotten a hold of me, and he has started something in us, and he knows that he means to finish it. Every year at Christmas, when I was going to college, I would make the trek from Saskatchewan to British Columbia. And many of the times that I arrived home, because it was so long a drive, I would arrive home very late or very early in the morning, whatever your perspective is. But every time that I arrived home, there was a light on to welcome me home. I love that. They always left a light on for me. Claudette likes that as well. She likes being able to come home to a light on, and or if I'm off somewhere, she always makes sure that she leaves a light on. It's just a way to say, this is your home. You are welcome here. There might be some other people who are here this morning, who are maybe listening somewhere online. We've heard this all before. This is nothing new. But at one point in your life, maybe you said yes to Jesus Christ and everything he represented, but something happened and maybe you wandered away. And now you've come in and you just intend to watch from the fringes and listen from the outside of this story. Well, here's what you need to know. You need to know that the light is on for you. The light is on in God's house, and he is waiting to welcome you back. He's waiting for the light to guide you home. And you are welcome. And all it takes today for you is to say, yes, I want to come back. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And maybe even there are some who have never heard this story, or if they've heard this story, they've never accepted the love and the forgiveness and the grace and mercy from Jesus Christ, from what he did on the cross. I say today is the day to say yes to that. I hope this Christmas, in the middle of everything that is going on, and the frustrations and the arguments and whatever, I hope that in the middle of all that we see and we say and we enjoy Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. In spite of everything, in all the things that you will do this holiday or not do, don't forget the reason why we celebrate. And don't forget that when he came to give peace on earth to all of you, to me, to the entire world that has ever lived. It's the greatest story ever told. And I say to you this morning, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for what we saw and for the effort and the songs and all the presentations that our families gave to us this morning. What a precious gift that was. I thank you that we can be here this morning. And I pray for this holiday. I pray that we would be able to just spend time with those that we love. That we would be able to open gifts and eat and all the things that make Christmas special. But Lord, may we never forget the reason why we celebrate. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you that he had the courage to live as one of us, to die as one of us, and to die for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. You're dismissed. Merry Christmas.